Welcome, lucky listeners. Grab yourselves a hot cup of... Tuck yourself down deep into the covers and make sure the lights are on. It's time for Read Me a Nightmare.
Welcome to this week's Read Me a Nightmare. This is episode 42, and we're featuring a story and interview with a writing friend of mine, R.J.K. Lee, who I will refer to as Ryland, because that's his full first name. He's a guest author in Cursed and Creepy with Memo from the Jelly Overlords, and I found his short tale terrifying and delightful all at the same time. And then plus, stay tuned for our interview. And I know I like to keep things candid, but we take it really far this time. And Ryland and I chat about the writing industry and our problems and our hopes and our dreams and where the money is and why can't we find the money and what's in the future for us and other short story writers. Plus, if you think that you're addicted to short story writing, this might be the place for you. All right. I know it's a little early in the season, but get ready for our festive tale, Memo from the Jelly Overlords, and stay tuned for the interview. I'm pretty sure you'll find it entertaining. Thanks.
Memo from the Jelly Overlords by R.J.K. Lee. 2. Row 271. Be advised, meet your daily quota. Miss it again, and your row will be summoned for interrogation and review. Make the workshop proud this season. Crumpling the memo into a ball, Stosh glared at the red overhead display. Quota success pending. As worker A at the head of the conveyor belt, he took the initiative. Worry not, an hour before we clock out, 20 left on the table, 3 minutes per toy, we can get it done together. Ironic chuckles erupted from his pitiful fellows in their required body suits and hairnets. Stosh shrugged them off as inevitable. Everyone felt the despair. When he called his wife from his cubicle cot last night, she complained that their twins whimpered for more food. They had to do better, or their families suffered. Stosh shaped plastic lumps into plump heads and bodies, then passed the dolls on to the next team members for limbs and accessories. A messenger elf scurried from a hole behind Stosh. Loyal to the overlords, messengers were never ginger-snap nice. The muscled fellow in dirt-smeared green overalls squeezed Stosh's arm.
You losers are too bony for my taste.
He dropped another 20 plastic lumps onto the table, then returned to the hollowed tunnels to the offices secreted within. The slapping and scratching sounds of climbers were a constant reminder of impatient activity. With lumps in hand, Stosh addressed his team. More from management. 20 seconds per toy to meet quota. They gaped. Their bloodshot whites widened above dark, puffy circles, their ears drooping. Stosh's neighboring teammate threw his toy limbs to the floor.
Impossible!
Rubbing his Adam's apple, Stosh knew his coworker was correct. With a spasm of fear, he stumbled from his seat. Gnarled roots framed the entrance to the tunnels. He pounded on the wood. The loudspeaker crackled.
Return to your seat, Worker A. Quota demands attention.
His teammates stumbled from their seats in solidarity.
Into the hole!
The waifs of row 271 puttered forward and climbed toward the offices, the overlords, and dreams of escape.
Hi, everyone. I'm here today with Ryland, and we've just enjoyed his cute little Christmas story. And we're having a chat about how to become a profitable author. Only my favorite bugaboo. Okay, so yes. Here is my basic crux of my problem right now. Before you can start marketing things, you have to have something that you find marketable worthy. So we all know anthologies have a very short run. No, right. Anthologies are not the way to build a mass audience and sell lots of copies, right? I don't think very many anthologies have a continuous growth of sales. You need to have a series, right? You have to have a book that's marketable, on trend, in a series. And then I think it's worth putting marketing efforts behind. But for example, the story that your story's in, the Cursed and Creepy anthology, it's cute. It did well in the Kickstarter. The stories are very worthwhile. But I don't think it makes sense for me to market the crap out of it because I just don't think the audience is there to find.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But it's difficult. I mean, like I was mentioning earlier, I follow comics and my friend and I follow this comic artist. And I think maybe it's slightly different, but her point was how she started making it big. Like everyone wants her to do a cover and all of this. She does cover art and content of comics too and stuff. But she just said like she sent her stuff to everybody, made friends with whoever she could and just kept pushing it in all different avenues to make it big. So I feel like in a way, maybe writing's the same. Like you don't know if you'll make it with novels or if you'll make it with podcasts or what will click. So you just have to keep trying every avenue. But it's kind of overwhelming and just exhausting. So then you don't have feel, then you lose motivation for your actual writing. So
it's true. So the thing with your friend though, so she does comics, but you said she does cover art. So she's famous.
Not my friend, just a famous comic artist we follow.
Okay. And she made her money doing covers. So what's her name, by the way? What's her name? So I can look her up.
What is the name? Sozo Maika.
Sozo Maika.
I don't know. Pretty recently, the past few years, they've gotten really big. And like when comic artists go big, they're like, you start seeing their covers all over. And then they start getting to not just covers, but she also does the, I don't know, what do you call it? The content inside the comics. I've checked out the website and does like, I don't know, different materials, like, what do you call it? Merch, like stickers and maybe sweaters, stuff like that. I don't know, whatever's on her website, but I don't know the artist. I just follow them because I've been like, oh, they got big and their art is awesome. And then read her article about like her interview about it. And it seemed similar to what we are all trying to do in like our writers group. At least a lot of us are sending it to not just Flash, not just one genre. We're sending it to everything we can to try to make it as big as we can, I guess.
That's
to be
true.
Read more.
So to catch up anybody who's listening, Rylan and I are in a group called Fireside Quills. It's sort of a Discord group and it's full of some very serious authors. I would say that it's the hardest hitting group of short story writers that I've come across. And, you know, I've sort of, you know, been around a little bit in the writing world. I've been sampling many different places and I'm thrilled with our writing group because I, you know, the opportunities come up, everybody's got their finger on the pulse of what's going on. But my one thought is I do think that short stories alone is not a viable path to a full-time income. It's not, right? And, and a lot of the writers in our group are also writing novels on the side too, right? For me, I think short story writing was a wonderful way to perfect my craft. It was a great way to meet people in the industry. And it's a good way to get some credits to give yourself some validity, right? Like saying, right, like myself, I've been coming up with amazing stories, or you and I both in space and time, which by the way, congratulations. I'm so excited. We're both.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
That's, you know, a very respected venue. So that's where I think short story writing works for us. What I don't see a future going forward. I mean, because I lost my job, I need to replace mortgage payments. I do not think that even if I sold a big short story a week, I'm replacing my mortgage. So there has to be another way, which is why I'm trying
a novel, because then there's serious potential and then it could maybe get picked up.
Yeah, that's true.
But to circle back to your comics, and by the way, your little short story actually read like it could be a comic.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've been reading a lot of them. Like slacking off on my other reads just to read some of the latest comics.
Oh, but that's fun. That's
but
fun.
Why do you say that? I'm curious.
Because it's very visual. So it's short, first of all, and it was visual and fun. And I can picture the pictures with the little bubbles when I read it.
Oh, yeah.
And I, as a television
yeah, I could
writer,
see that.
Right? Like, this is the medium that my experience is in, short, visual, punchy. And actually, I think a lot of my own writing works that way, which is why I've sold two stories to Okoye Comics.
I was curious about that.
I actually think my own writing works that way as well, right? I think that my writing might be good for comics, which is a venue I'm definitely exploring, because if you look at people like Jonathan Mayberry, Kevin J. Anderson, James Artemis Owen, these people who have really managed to be successful in the industry, all have comic backgrounds. And they pay well. If you can actually get a gig writing comics, the per page pay is way better than what you're going to find in many other places for writing.
Have you ever read any Joe Hill? You know, Stephen King's son.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
He has comics too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So,
comics are like
lots of people are dabbling in it. It's just one other place to get your stories out, I guess. But there's
money.
Have you noticed
on Kickstarter? Kickstarter, like what James Aquilone's doing right now, Kickstarter comic books seem to be the most successful from the research that I've been doing. Like, they seem to get funding and they seem to get overfunded. As a visual medium for Kickstarter, those two seem to work really well together.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not, but yeah, I mean, I know there's worry among comic store owners and such of comics not doing as well as they used to or something. But for us, it seems like, and Kickstarters and whatnot, it seems like a nice venue to push.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it's something I'm going to explore more of, because I've got... So maybe we'll all look into this together. As I said, we're all trying to find the money together, right? This is...
But yeah, I definitely want to get back into noveling, because I started doing short story writing. Well, I don't know when I started anything, honestly. I've been doing a lot of it so long on the side. But I know, because 2015, from there, I was trying to push my novels more. And I forget which year it was, somewhere between 2014 to 2016, maybe. Somewhere in there, I went to a conference and I pitched a lot of novels, more than one, which you're not supposed to.
How many have you written?
And I think probably only one of those was technically all the way finished.
Okay.
So yeah. I hope... No one's listening to this, but
trust me,
you're not really supposed to do that either. But I don't know. I figured, why not? I'm there, and I just wrote up, I think, 5 pitches as backup for things that like I had on my plate that I still have on my plate or would like to be novels. But I would think just one of them, I'm calling it cyberpunk horror, but I'm not quite sure if that's the genre.
Ooh, I like that genre.
Yeah, I pitched that, and like the editors or the agents I was pitching it to really liked it, or I don't know, they acted positive. Who knows if they actually liked it? And I was supposed to send my pages and whatnot, and then I don't know, life got in the way, and I
didn't do it. No, no.
So anyway, since then,
Island.
I've been working on the short stories more, and still working in that story world of those different novels, and now, I don't know. I think that confused me. Going back into the look at the novel just recently, like we were going to send to Berkeley or whatnot.
Yes,
until they crashed the site.
Fiasco.
I was looking and I'm like, wow, I have, I don't know, so many different versions of this novel. I have a novella version. I have like all these flashes. I have the full novel, but the novel has maybe 4 different starts I need to decide which one it is I want to sell if I'm going to start pitching it again.
Do you know what, Ryland? Send me the first page of all four and I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Let me help you out here.
But yeah, it's hard to say how
I'll let you know my opinion. Sorry. I'd let you know my opinion. I'm not saying that I would be the one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean,
the one you have to sell.
As a fresh eye, I could let you know what intrigued me personally, Angelique, fan of horror, the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to get these things done. So by the way, you're not alone. When I was at Superstars, I pitched 3 projects. None of them finished. Here's the problem. Everybody I pitched went, sure, let me see it. So that's why I'm in a mad panic here at home. And you're like, okay, guess we better get these things done.
No sleeping for me for the next few months.
That's right. 80 hour workday. This is my husband's like, you're working all the time. And I'm like, yeah, but like, I got to get this done for this agent and this done for this acquiring editor. And then this publisher said they want to see this. I didn't sell them as finished. I did admit to them all that they were
really?
Okay. In progress. Yeah. Like Superstars has a very welcoming, open kind of environment.
Right.
So
you better be honest there.
Yeah. And nobody's there to like, everybody's there to help you. Nobody's there to judge or give you a hard time. Like it's a very wonderful environment. So for me, it was really nice because I was horrible. Like my pitches were horrible. You know, when you like pick up a drink, like, you know, your mouth is dry, so you're nervous. You pick up a drink. Well, I picked up a drink and like, couldn't even get it to my mouth. So I hate so much. It's like, it's like, great. Well, that's good. So what are you focusing on now? Are you going to finish these novels and finally maybe approach that agent again? Or what's
I was dreading that question. I was like, do I actually want to meet you? Because then I know you're going to ask that and I don't know what to say. Or like, because my other friend who moved back to South Africa is like, oh, I'm curious what you're working on now. I'm like, well, if I answer that, I'll be like, well, I'm working on, you know, 10 different short stories that I want to send out to these markets. Some of them new, some are just like, you know, revamping something to a new shape or form. And then I want to start on the novel, which now I guess I'm looking at again, thanks to Berkeley's thing.
This is your cyberpunk horror?
Yeah. Because like, that's going to haunt me forever. If I never like, start sending it out again, it's always going to be sitting there in the corner staring at me like, why are you not getting me published?
Your own horror story, but, your own personal horror story.
Yeah. So that, and then I don't know, for example, I'm working on the one for the what's it called, the one where you have to have the long title and all the footnotes.
Yeah, it's Aaron Nothing know? The Press. Yes.
I think I just finished it today. But I have two options, actually. Maybe I'll send you them both. One is the you know, the one you read, the horror about the birds on the train and everything. You're like,
oh, I loved that one. I loved that one.
So then I took that one and I took out like one thread of it and made those footnotes, basically. And I expanded the end. There's now a sort of a second part. So there's that option. And I actually sent that version to Lightspeed. For fantasy, we'll see if Lightspeed is just a crapshoot. That's not going to happen, obviously. Yeah,
we're all trying to win the lottery, right? You never know, though. Sometimes it does happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
The writing's good. That story was great. I loved it.
So that, and then the other one is time-space traveling worms that are sort of this horror-ish element of that universe.
Neat.
You'd have to read it to make sense of what I'm saying, honestly. But
I'm
really, I think
in
it
space
works
right now.
Well, because it's basically I took like this one tense moment, so that's the like 500 words of the main narrative, and then the footnotes are just like, well, that's what this is referring to. This tension developed because, you know, they are bickering about whether this time worm actually exists somewhere out in outer space. Or this is why they're fighting, or this is who I was watching while during the violent fight that erupted and killed half our community. So it's like, I tried to make it like, you know, the footnotes are slowly developing the tension, whereas the base story is like, okay, that's just two people chatting and having a small fight. but we'll see.
Oh, that sounds good. It does sound good. Well, you got to get your novels done and out, right?
But did you manage to write one for that with the footnotes and everything?
No, I didn't even try for that one. So honestly, Island, so we all have addictions. I am addicted to short stories. I could sit here, write short stories, do my lists, submit. I could do that ad nauseum. I'll tell you what I'm at this year. I have submitted in 2024. I have submitted about 220 stories. They're all not the same stories, right? I have about 30 haven't been sold. 220 subs. Like, I can do it.
Jeez.
Yes. For me, it's very addictive. I can sit here and sub and communicate with the editors and do my research and then get more stories and then find more markets. As you know, I love researching the markets, right? Like, this is like it's like my crack. I love it. So I need to stop. It's for me, I need a 12-step program. I need to pull back. I need to do less short stories. Okay. This morning, I have subbed 6 stories, I think. You see, I can't even stop myself. I should be working on the novel, not subbing stories. But then, you know, what happens is I get a rejection. And if you push me down, I'm like one of those Russian dolls. If you push me down, I'm going to push right back up again, right? I'm like, you reject it, let me throw you back another one.
I don't sub quite as many as you do, but I definitely have the addiction where if I get rejected, I'm like, going to feel horrible until I sub it out again or sub something else or sub 10. Since one was rejected, might as well send 10 more out.
100%. You and I are on the same wavelength. That's how it goes.
Horrible.
Yep, it is. So I need me saying, so I'm trying not to. I'm deliberately not subbing to every call I find interesting. And because I just sold that market a story. So my story, The Last Drop of Diesel, is going to be in We Are All Thieves of Somebody's Future.
That's exciting.
It is. I'm so freaking happy. So Todd and I have been chasing Todd for a few years now. I've interviewed him twice. I've said something to every call. Finally, right? This is me. I'll knock on that door till you let me in. So finally,
you never have to sub to him again.
Well, except his stuff is, I love what he does though. Like his.
Yeah, he has interesting ideas. His next one is some kind of RPG related world of his own. Or somebody's creation.
Yeah, he does very cool things. So I might, but I need to step back and work on the novel. Now, the thing with The Last Drop of Diesel, that actually comes from my novel that I'm working on now. So if I can sort of sub out little short stories that exist in my novel world so that I'm climbing, you know, two ladders at once, then that might work for me. But
yeah.
And then I sent something to like Carol Heitsch, who has a Cowboy Up anthology coming out. So I sent her another section of my novel. Then I sent a section to Woman's World. You see, my addiction continues. Even if I try and stay away from the crack, I'm still using it. I'm like, okay, give me a short story. This little chapter, I'll send it out. We'll see. Hopefully that doesn't get me in trouble with like rights and stuff. But I don't think I have to like my breath. I'm sure I'll have all my rights back before it. You know, before I have enormous break and get my traditional publishing deal. we can all dream, right?
But if you find a good way to balance the addiction with actual novel writing, let me know. I need to get back into the noveling. I don't know how I did it before. Now it's like short stories invaded my space completely.
I know. And then it's almost like you can't get off it. It's like just another, it's like another drink, just another drink, just another short story, just another shot, just one more. Then you get the little buzz. It's such a nice buzz. Here it is. Here's why it's addictive. You write it, you finish it. It's something you can finish and you have, and then it's like immediate gratification. You did it. It's finished. If I give you 2,000 words to read, you're like, Angelique, sure. And you read it and you send me back your comments. If I say to you, Ryland, I've got an 80,000 word novel, and you just like, you know, give it a quick read for me, that's a harder sell. It's harder. Yeah. And here's my 2,000, you know, word story about a spider that eats, you know, a small school of children or whatever we're writing at the time. Yeah. That's another world I'd like to find. I just don't want to write these stories. Write the stories, then I'm with the movie. Come on. We got to do this right.
Why are we not in, you know, our stories should be on Netflix already.
Absolutely. Like, come on. So yes, that's definitely the path that, you know.
That can be the next challenge to our group. By the end of the year, one of you has to put your story on TV somehow.
I love it. Let's do it. Let's make it a challenge. It could happen, especially in our group.
Yeah, some of the writers in our group. Yeah.
I wouldn't
put it past them.
Rylan, tell people where they can find you.
Okay. Where can you find me? Well, I do have a website that is somewhat updated. www.rjklee.com. That's it, isn't it? And then you can find me all over at Instagram, you know, Twitter. Oh, it's not Twitter anymore, is it? X.
X. I'll put your links in the show notes too, so people can find.
Just put all the links in there.
So thank you so much for your time today. I definitely have to do a part two with you because we didn't even get into talking about Japan and your lifestyle.
There's a lot more.
I could just chat with you forever. Rylan and I have been lucky enough to share quite a few tables of contents together. And Rylan and I I use you as one of my main readers, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. But I use you lots. It's like, you're one of my go-tos.
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. Yeah, for sure.
Somebody who can do a quick read. Sure you don't want my 80,000 word Catwoman romance novel?
Might happen at some point, so you can read my cyberpunk horror novel.
Yes, yes. Oh, speaking of cyberpunk, did you see my interview with Bruce Besk? He's the guy who he coined the term cyberpunk.
Oh, right, Bruce, yeah. That's right. I remember you did that.
Yeah, but it's pretty recent. You have to read that one. That was a good interview. He had pure gold. Sure. Pure gold in his interview. He was so freaking genuine. And shared, he blew me away with his interview. It is definitely one of the best ones I have out there, not because of me, but just because of how much he shared.
Right.
Like he really gets into the guts of the industry and gave some very salient, if hard-hitting advice.
I'll have to listen to that then.
You read it. I don't think so. I think we've had enough people tell us we all have no hope that we just go, la, 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 not listening.
True.
If there's a way, Ryland, I swear to you, if there's a way to make money at this, I'm going to find it. And then I want to share it. I'm going to share every little detail I find. So,
yeah,
I'm on the job. This is all I'm doing. It's my obsession.
Sounds good.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll share more table of contents, talks in the future.
Yes, we shall. Here, I'm going to.
What's next?
What is next? I don't know what's next for us. Taking over the world, obviously.
Well, thank you all for hanging in to the very end. Remember, till next time, sleep with your lights on.